Could I have the ministers come and pass these out for me? I made some handouts for you tonight. I have 40 here, so I didn't take the time to count. But if, you know, you can share between families or whatever, that's cool. I don't have PowerPoint at home, and I've never worked in a church that had a projector, so I wasn't going to go there on my first time to share the word with you. I'm not going to give you a lot of background on me because I got a lot of things to share with you tonight. I did include a couple of my websites at the bottom at the last page. If you want to find out a little about our history or whatever, you can go there and find out what kind of things we've been up to since 1976 as we've been serving God. And my wife and I have both been saved since the early 70s and filled with the Holy Spirit, and everywhere we've been, even when we were green and didn't even know hardly how to say hallelujah, God's used us for His glory, and you know, we're just grateful for the opportunity to serve. And I just want to let you know, since this is the first time I've ever addressed you, I'm really grateful to be in this church. You know, I'm kind of shy, you know, and you say, well, gee, if you're shy, why are you up there? I don't know. I've been asking God that for 30 years, so I mean, I haven't really built a lot of relationships with you folks yet or anything, and if I see you out in public, I may not recognize you. Don't think I'm snubbing you, but until I get to know people better, I honestly don't know who they are. Okay, so just so you know that right up front. But, you know, God has given us a heart for the body of Christ, and He brought us here. It was part of His supernatural plan. In fact, we just completed our first anniversary a couple weeks ago of the very first time that we came to this church. And I actually would have been here a few weeks before that, but I pulled into the parking lot and I turned around and left. And I said, I'm not going in there. I don't know nothing about that church. You know, I'm just going to keep driving to Mount Zion, you know, up in Utica. You know, thank God we saw the light and we came because we were blessed, and it's also saved us a tremendous amount of money in gasoline. But that's money we can invest in the kingdom instead of the oil companies, you know. So we're glad about that. But just have really grown to appreciate Pastor Phil and Connie and those of the rest of you that we've gotten to know, and it's been really special to be here. I appreciate the vision of the church. I appreciate the emphasis of the church. I really believe with all my heart that God's about to do something really cool in this place, and I'm glad that we can be here as that's about to happen, because I've always been a cutting-edge person. You know, I like to be where the action is. In fact, I've sold houses, I've relocated across the country, I've done everything that I felt was necessary to do to be on the cutting edge of the kingdom of God my whole entire life. And so here we are, cutting edge in Johnstown, New York. You know, and I mean, if you knew how many times my wife and I tried to get out of this place and go back to the Midwest where we're both from, you know, I mean, the bond lenders just lived a short distance from where my wife grew up. She grew up in Richfield, Minnesota. If you ever heard of the Mall of America, that's only 5 minutes from her house. I like to go hang out there when we go visit. The airport is right across the highway from where she lives, and I love planes and all that kind of thing. And so many times we were going to leave, you know, and changes came in our lives, and we thought, well, gee, we have no family here or anything else. We might as well just leave and go back to where we're from. And God keeps closing the door, and He says, I want you in New York. I said, then you have to give me more money, because I have to pay taxes if I live here. You know, and taxes and cost of living and all that is not as high in the Midwest as it is here. But God's done a real good job of taking care of us since we've been here, and we're blessed. So what I want to do tonight, as you can see, there's a lot of blanks on your paper, so I'm going to make you work tonight. You're going to have to fill them in. I don't know if you don't have a pen, if there's extra pens laying around here or something, or if you can use a crayon or whatever we can steal from the kids. But, you know, I want to give you something that you can take with you. You know, so many people, they say, well, gee, you know, I really want to seek the Lord during the week, but I don't know what to do. I say, well, why don't you go over, you know, take some notes and go over what the pastor shared with you on Sunday. You know, and go over it again and again and meditate on it and start to apply it. And then, boy, you know what? Your life will change. It absolutely will change. So I'm giving you some things tonight that are absolutely going to change your life if you do something with it. All right, so my big question for you tonight as church body of Jesus Christ is, are you a receiver? Are you a receiver? All right. God has promised to pour out His power, His anointing and blessing on this church. Do you believe He's going to do that? Yes. We're coming together tomorrow night and again on August the 1st, believing that God's going to pour out healing on His people. Do you believe He's going to do that?
Yes.
Well, that's great, but let me tell you something I learned in the last 30 years of serving God. Now, this may be dangerous to say in a faith church, but believing is not enough. Put that down in your blank there. That's your first blank. Believing is not enough. Faith is only half of the process of making a true connection with the living God. All right? Faith is only part of it. There has to be something else that takes place. And number one there, I'm going to give you the answer right off the bat. Receiving must accompany believing. Receiving. Well, I'm a receiver. I come in here and I attend, you know, the meetings and I sing. And that's not receiving. When you sing, supposedly, if you're really truly engaged with God, you're ministering to Him. You're reaching out to Him. You're touching His heart. When God starts to move through the preaching or through personal ministry or through prophetic word over you or whatever it is, then what's going on with you? That's what I want to know. I've been in this long enough to see that a majority of the people in the global body of Christ, at least the parts I've been exposed to, really don't understand receiving and they don't do it a lot. And I am not alone in my belief because there was a major Christian publication a couple years ago. I think it was Christianity Today, but I forgot. And they were conducting surveys as people exited church and said, did you really feel like you encountered God today? And most of them said no. Most of them said no. How can you go into one of these mega churches? I mean, Joel Osteen, 40,000 people in his church. How can you walk out of there with such an anointed man of God preaching the word and not have anything happen to you? It's because you didn't receive what was going on when you were there.
That's right.
How can you sit under the teaching of this dear man and his wife week after week after week and not encounter change in your personal life? It's because you didn't receive what he was feeding you. You heard it, but did you receive it? We know them by their church attendance. That's what the Bible says, right? No. We know them by how much they jump during worship. That's how we know who the true believers are, right? No. We know them by their fruits. Well, I'm pretty fruity, so I guess I must be a Christian. But I didn't say, you be a fruit. I said, produce fruit. I am a fruit. I'm known for being a fruit. I work in Lexington Center right now. Everybody knows I'm crazy over there. And they love me. They like that. You're my favorite person to go out with. I just think you're awesome. I have so much fun with you. Well, some of the other staff, though, they must go to a dead church or something because they just don't like me. Like, you know, stay away from me. You get those kind of looks from time to time. But receiving must accompany believing. Now, I put out the Bible verses for you so we don't have to spend time looking them up, so we all use the same version. This is called the Modern King James Version. That's the one I pulled off of my computer software, and I thought it was the same as the New King James, and I was wrong. But it's still good. Okay? Still the Word of God, and it's still pretty close. And I studied Greek when I was in college, the college where I met Lori. I had a few semesters of Greek, so I know. Okay, I could read it enough to be able to translate it. I could sit out here and write the words for you on the screen in actual Greek letters and all that other kind of stuff. So I know when a translation is accurate or not. All right, because I know enough to be able to look at it and tell if that's really what it says. So this is a good version. Jesus was hungry and cursed a fig tree that had no figs. Okay, that's the story that's going on here in Matthew 21. And when the disciples saw, they marveled, saying, how quickly the fig tree is withered away. Now, we've heard this verse before. It hasn't even been too long ago we heard it. Tonight, we're going to look at it just a little bit different. How Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt." I think we got that part nailed down pretty good. "If you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do this miracle of the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, 'Be moved and be thrown into the sea,' it shall be done." See, not only are we able to do the thing that we intended to do, if we exercise our faith, you get back exponentially more than what you even planned on doing. So instead of just doing the same thing, doing the same miracle Jesus did at the fig tree, he said, not only that, but you can move the mountain too. You know, God always promises more than what we're even willing to ask for. Because he's super abundant. You know, he's always challenging us to look beyond what's normal. That's why this is supposed to be a supernatural life.
Yeah.
If it's a supernatural life, that means it's not natural. Okay? It's not the everyday thing. It's not the same old thing all the time. There's something supernatural that takes place. And God says, Jesus says, "Fig tree, no problem. Poof, you can do that too if you have faith. But you can also move that mountain over there." Now, before you go out and try to rearrange the geography of the planet, all right, you know, you might want to practice on a few other things first. You know, I mean, I don't even necessarily know that God wants to rearrange the geography of the planet. All right? But he's making a very strong point here. I mean, nobody else can move a mountain, but you can if you have faith and do not doubt. But it doesn't stop there. Oh, not only can it be moved and thrown into the sea, he says it shall be done, and all things, whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall, what?
Receive.
Receive. Now look at that Greek word there, receive. It's lambano. It's an active word. You know, okay, God, go ahead, you know, just touch me, I'm here, you know, hallelujah, these guys are praying for me, and, you know, I'm really believing that you're going to heal me tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead. You know, 1, 2, 3. Hello. Hello. I'm still here. Nothing happened. That's the way we are with the Lord. We're so passive. See, if you believe and receive, there's something that takes place. Receive literally means to take and to get a hold of. How do I get a hold of a healing? That's mine in Jesus' name. That man or that woman of God is standing there and they're praying over you, and you say, "Yeah, that's mine. Hallelujah. Lord, I just receive that in Jesus' name, and I just thank you, Lord, and I know you can do that because you can do fig trees and you can do mountains, and I can do it too, and I believe that you're going to touch me right now."
Amen.
See, that's a little action there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little more than being just passive? Take, get a hold of, accept it. Accept. You know? I did an illustration years ago. I thought about doing it tonight where I took an umbrella with me when I was preaching and I said, you know, reading verses about, you know, "Oh God, pour out your rain on me," and I got this umbrella here. You know? I just said, "Pour out your rain, pour out your rain." Well, what are you doing with an umbrella up if you're expecting to receive rain from God? You know, you need to accept, you need to engage your heart and your mind into the spiritual transaction that's taking place when you're receiving ministry, whether it's the ministry of the Word right now, any other Sunday, any other Tuesday, when you're being prayed over, whatever's going on, there's a spiritual transaction that's supposed to be taking place right there, and you need to accept it. Lord, this is mine. Thank you. I accept it. I receive it. It means to be amazed. I mean, if you honestly believe in your heart that something has taken place and you've exercised your faith to believe for it and receive it, the response is going to be your total amazement. It's like, whoa, 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 baby. This is all right. You know, I like this. I'm amazed. God wants to amaze you. He wants to amaze me. It means to attain. Okay, attain. That, you know, man, I want to attain this. I want to attain an encounter with God. A supernatural touch from God. I don't want to walk out of here the way I came in. What's the point? What's the point in even coming? Some people don't come anymore because they stopped receiving anything from God. And they're home watching reruns of NCIS tonight. I like that show. I just record it. You know? God invented DVRs just for that purpose. It means to catch. See, God pours out by the Spirit. You got to catch it. You know? Now imagine, you're in the big baseball game. You know? One of them Yankees is up to bat. And you want them to lose because you're on the other team. And you're standing back here behind that batter, you know, and the pitcher's getting ready to throw the ball. And you say, come on, come on, come on. And poof, ball goes right past you. And he just tears off down the base and runs because you didn't make any effort to catch the ball. You have to make an effort to catch what's going on in the spirit. To catch. Get your hands involved. Oh God, I receive. Lord, I receive. Or sometimes just symbolism for me. Lord God, I receive. I put it right over my heart. You know? Sometimes I even tip my mouth up to God. God, you know, because the Bible says open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's right. You know? It's just symbolism for me. So, you know, don't think I'm trying to swallow something from the ceiling. If you see me do that, I'm just acting out, you know, for me. To help me get into a position to receive. Well, I'm going to tell you something. See, I know what it's like to be in a situation where you're not receiving. Because I've gone through situations in my life and in my ministry and even recently in the last couple of years where, I mean, I was depressed. I was frustrated. I felt cut off from God. I felt cut off from my destiny. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And that was one of the reasons why the first Sunday I pulled in the driveway, I left. Because I thought, ain't nothing going to come out of this. I mean, this is Johnstown. You know, what happens in Johnstown? You know, nothing. I mean, I was involved in the church in Johnstown, and well, I'm not there anymore, so now nothing's happening in Johnstown. You know, that's kind of dumb, wasn't it? But that was the mindset I allowed myself to get into, and for several weeks, I stood in front of these chairs, and I went through the motions of a worship service without making a connection because there was brokenness and there was heaviness and there was darkness inside my mind. But I knew I could fix it anytime I wanted to. That's the sad part. I deliberately allowed myself to go through that because I was angry at the Lord. I didn't understand the Lord. I wanted maybe somebody to see me and feel sorry for me or my wife or something, you know, and I just, you know, I didn't want to feel good. I wanted to feel bad. I didn't want to feel spiritual because my situation wasn't changing. So what do you think I got the first few months I was here? Nothing. I was impressed by the things I saw, and I was impressed with the anointing on your pastors and the beautiful things that you folks have done with this building. I mean, I preached in this building back in the 80s, you know, before you guys were even here. I mean, I know what you've done to this building. I stood right over there where that banner is, and I preached to a group of people in here, you know, and I was just so amazed. I said, wow, God, these people give. These people give. Man, that's awesome. You know, what an awesome church. And I was impressed and I was excited about that. And it didn't take me very long to understand that I would be able to trust this man and his wife and the anointing and the presence of God that was here. But I still wasn't receiving a whole lot. I was taking a lot of notes, though. And I thought, wow, I finally got to a church where I felt like I was really getting fed. You know, was able to receive something, you know, instead of going to a church where sometimes, you know, I mean, I've been to a lot of churches, so don't sit there and think, oh yeah, we was talking about this one and this one and this. I've been to a lot of churches in 30 years. instead of feeling like, well, that was really boring. I didn't get much out of it. I wonder if anybody else did. All right. So I'm just being honest with you. I've always been very honest. I've been very open, very vulnerable, and people have always told me that they appreciate that about me. So I'm going to keep doing that. All right? So that's the way it was. But things started to change for me November, December, and I started to get the right mindset again. And I came and I started to connect, and I started to receive, and my life started to get turned around again. So it works. Okay, it works. So what I'm telling you works. But you have to decide to do what I did, to actively receive and not just be passive and stand there. Well, okay, God, everything is screwed up in my life. I guess if you want to touch me, you know where I am. I'm in the third chair over from the second row. Yeah. Alright. I mean, people are like that. You're laughing because you do that. Or you have, okay? You know? You've done it. It means to hold something. It means to have it. It means to obtain it. It means to take it away. Receiving is taken away. Yeah, somebody's praying for you to get healed or delivered or whatever. You say, yeah, that's mine. In Jesus' name. Taking that. That's mine. And you take it away and you walk out of here with it.
Yeah.
I've been healed. Okay? Or whether it's the truth of the word, whatever it is. Take it. Be aggressive. And it also means to take up. Okay? So you see all the action words in there? I mean, this is a verb. This is not a noun. This is a verb. This is something that you and I have got to do. Now, point number two, receiving is active, not passive, just like faith. Receiving is active, not passive, just like faith. When you ask for something in faith, you have to receive it, take it, get a hold of it, catch it, and obtain it. I want to show you a good little illustration of what receiving is all about. And this principle we're talking about. This radio is a good example of receiving. All right? Letter A, a radio, is a good illustration of the supernatural principle. The American Heritage Dictionary, a radio is a receiver. All right? American Heritage Dictionary defines a radio as an apparatus used to receive radio signals. It's a receiver. Now, you have to understand there's many steps involved in turning this piece of plastic into a receiver. And I'm not talking about the construction of it. I'm talking about just utilizing it in your everyday life. I mean, sit here. Okay, I want to listen to WJIV. Go ahead. Come on. Do your thing. Come on. Come on. Jesus' name. No. That's not going to work. Because you haven't taken the steps necessary to make this thing begin to receive. So what's the very first thing you got to do? You got to plug it in or install some batteries. All right, this one's got batteries. My wife got this for free from Scholastic Magazine. She's a teacher, and she's finally spent so many millions of dollars in the last 20 years as a teacher, they gave her this $5 radio. You know, and said, we appreciate your business. You know, we're so honored, and, you know, please come check out our website and spend another $5 million. Plug it in and install some batteries. See, the key is you got to get some power to it.
Amen.
You mean, like, if I'm going to receive something from God, then maybe I need to get plugged in and get some power to me?
Amen. Lord.
See, the receiving is a spiritual connection. It's a transaction. You plugging into the electricity of God. You're not going to get healed if you just sit there passively and wait for, you know, Reverend whoever or anointed whoever to do their thing. You know?
Amen.
Nothing. Because, see, they're already plugged in. But it's not about them because you're the one that's sick. All they are is a transmitter. You're the one that's their receiver. So you can't just sit there. No, come on, I thought you were anointed. Do something. Make me better. Get plugged in. Get the Holy Spirit. Ask God to touch you.
Amen.
Get in tune before you ever even come.
Yeah.
All right? Before you even come. I mean, if I'm looking for a major healing in my life, you know, I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, reruns of Days of Our Lives before I come to church.
Yeah.
You know? I wonder if Marlene is ever going to come back from the dead this year. Oh, God, Stefano's dead again. I don't believe it. So how come you know so much about Days of Our Lives? Well, I used to watch it back in the 70s, so it's okay. I don't watch it anymore. But one of my clients does that I take out from Lexington, and he's always telling me what's going on, and he even brought me a book about Days of Our Lives that we had to sit and look at in Burger King. You know? So I was trying to educate him about who all these people were back in the 70s before he was even born. You know? He said, what, you're kidding? That used to be Roman Brady? Well, he's Dr. North now. You know? What you been watching this year? She knows who Dr. North is. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right. So you got to get connected to some power. You know, you have to. All right. Because so often we always put it on the other guy. Well, you know, I didn't get healed tonight because Pastor didn't have enough faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's always so easy to blame the minister. You know, what did you do? All right. The next thing you got to do is you got to turn it on.
Amen.
You got to activate it. And I tie that in with activating your faith. Release some faith into the situation. I believe God. Ooh. And then you got to tune in a station. Tune your heart into God's frequency. Open up to Him so you can receive. Pray in the Spirit, pray in English, worship. I mean, what's going on during the worship service for you when you're coming and expecting to receive some kind of ministry? What's going on with you? Hallelujah, I'm glad I taped in CIS. Hallelujah. I wonder who got shot this week. Hallelujah, what's going on in Israel? You know, I mean, what's going on with you? Are you making any effort to tune in? Don't be passive when you're receiving, when you're getting some kind of ministry. You know, even if it's a prophetic word. I mean, man, if that's your prophetic word, then you put yourself in a position where you can receive.
Amen.
All right? I used to leave puddles on the floor when I was a worship leader. You know, and this is without a suit. Okay, now can you imagine what I'd look like right now if I had a suit on? You know? So, thank you very much. And I'll pray for Marlena. Tune in a station. If the station doesn't come in well, what do you need to do? Put your antenna up. You got two of them. Oh God, I'm having such a hard time connecting tonight. Lord, I don't know. I just feel like nothing's going to happen. I just feel so, you know, disconnected. Lord says, well, would you learn Tuesday night? Oh Jesus, you're awesome. You're awesome, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you care about me. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you're concerned about everything I go through. I thank you that this miracle that I need tonight, that that's something that's important to you just as much as it is to me. And Lord, I just believe that you're going to touch me tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, because it's the blood. It's not about me. It's not about my past. It's not about my perfection, because I can never be good enough to receive anything from you. But Lord, thank you so much that you put it on pastor's heart to have these kind of meetings, and that you brought people here tonight that could minister to me. And Lord, I just give you glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Something's going to happen when you do that.
Amen.
You know that?
Amen.
Something's going to happen when you do that.
Amen.
know? And that's active. That's not passive, is it? Now, sometimes if the signal's still not coming in well, you may have to adjust the position of the radio. Or in this case, we'll call that your heart. Make sure your heart, mind, and soul is pointed towards Him and not the world. What is the focus of your life? Well, the focus of my life is the world, but on Tuesday and Sunday, or maybe just Sunday for some people, I, you know, do the church thing. Because I just, like, I feel so good when I go, and, you know, I just like, you know, the way pastor preaches, and I like the music, and, you know, it's just a fun place to hang out, and sometimes, you know, I find out where they're going for dinner afterwards, and I can hang out with people. Well, honey, you can go across the street and get that at the Moose Lodge. Okay, if you're looking for something social, you can get that at the Moose Lodge. This is not about social.
Amen. Amen.
This is about spiritual.
Yeah.
And you're the one that has to turn your heart towards God. The people who are ministering to you can't do that for you. I can't even stand here and preach my heart out and sweat all over the pulpit and get you to do it. You know, I can't make that happen. It's something you have to decide to do.
Good word.
Amen.
All right?
Thank you, Lord.
And then one other thing I've noticed about radios is that if you've done all that, if the signal still continues to be weak, you may have to get closer to the transmitter.
Amen.
All right? You just may have to get closer to God. If it's not really coming in, well, then maybe you're doing some of the things that I've been guilty of doing in my life, getting so caught up in all the things I have to do that I don't get caught up in what I need to do, which is reach out to Him. You know, we just sang a wonderful song about intimacy. Is it a song or is it real? You know? Well, I feel good when I sing that song. God doesn't care if you feel good about the song. He wants to know if it's real for you. I mean, He inspired somebody to write that. He gave somebody the talent to be able to sing it. He gave you guys the money to be able to put it up here on the screen, but you're the one that has to experience it for yourself. Right? So, I mean, this is the way it is. You know, I have no idea what this is, but I tried to get it on WGY, and I got it, or not WGY, JIV, and I couldn't pick it up when I got in here. So all your steel beams and stuff must be blocking out the Christian station. So we need a new building. Hallelujah. One that doesn't interfere with radio signals from God. You know? So start putting that money in there for the building fund. All right? You know? I mean, all it takes is a little tiny adjustment to make that thing be nothing but static. You know? I mean, is that your life? Is that your life? I mean, just a little hair off. You know, you compromise just enough in your life that you're not really dead on. You're not really receiving from God. You're just going through the motions. You're just being religious. And this is the result of your life. Static. Because you're not tuned in. Maybe you are turned on, okay, because you're coming to church, but you're not tuned in. And that's a choice. Get your power. Get your antenna up. Turn your heart on. Point it in the right direction. Get closer to Jesus. You know? I mean, this is the way that you are going to receive. That's the way it works. Now, I want to ask you something. Is the radio signal that we were listening to just a minute ago, is it still out there, even though we're not currently picking it up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is the anointing of God still flowing, you know, towards Believers Fellowship Center and through anointed men and women of God that serve the Lord here? I mean, is it still flowing, even if you're not plugged in, turned on, and receiving it? Yeah, it's still there.
Amen.
But boo-hoo for you, you didn't tune in. And you went home and you missed it. You missed it. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? And see, it not only grieves the heart of your pastor when he sees that, it grieves God. You know? I mean, one of the most disappointing things of shepherding the people of God is realizing that they're not getting it.
Yeah.
And they're not connecting. And you go home and you wring your hands and you say, what else can I do? I've prayed, I've loved, I've reached out, I've studied, I've prepared, I've prayed, I've given myself, I've given my time, I've given my own money, I've done everything I possibly can, and they're still not getting it. Now, of course, he doesn't mean that for everybody, but for those who aren't getting tuned in. So, no, I went through that. You know, a lot of times, breaks your heart. Sometimes people say to me, well, you know, if you're so anointed and you've been serving God all these years, how come you're not out there starting another church somewhere and, you know, doing what God's called you to do? It's a personal choice. I don't need to start another church. There's a good one right here, and this is where I live. Why do I need to go down the street and open up a building and pay for all that stuff and, you know, wait 10 years to be able to get a projector like that and, you know, keyboard and all that other kind of stuff and everything just so that I can, you know, preach to 30 people? You know? I believe God's going to move here. And it blesses my heart to know that with the things that we know and the things that we've experienced, that we can come and we can be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Thank you.
And whatever. And that's what it's all about.
Thank you, Lord.
You know?
Thank you, Father.
That's what it's all about. And see, that's the way your heart needs to be. Lord, I want to go to Believers Fellowship, not for what I can get out of it, but what can I put into it?
Amen.
What can I do to strengthen the hands of my pastors? What can I do to encourage them? I'll tell you one big thing that'll really help is just become a receiver. Just become a receiver. And they'll get so excited. They'll go home, you know. I mean, you've seen Pastor Phil jump, you know. I can't jump like that because I'm too big. I'll break my knees. you know, it was so cool, man. It's like healings and deliverance and oh, man, it was awesome. It was glorious. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, you know. Don't you want him to be walking around his house like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just be a receiver, that's all. I mean, we're not asking you for $1 million. We're just asking you to receive what God's doing.
Amen.
Connect with him.
Thank you.
Because they're investing a lot of faith and a lot of prayer into seeing that happen right here for you in Johnstown.
Yeah. Amen.
You know?
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
You know, bless you, Jesus. I always do this. I end up with so many pages of notes that I can't go through them all. Let me direct you to one here since we're talking about healing. Let's go to the second page, number 5. Healing must be actively received. Now, how do I know that? Since we're believing for healing for tomorrow night and whatever.
Amen.
Healing must be received. Here's the verse to back that up. Hebrews 11:1. By faith also, Sarah herself received, it's the same word lambano that we looked at before, she received strength, and the word strength is dunamis, power, Holy Spirit, same thing that they promised us in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. She received strength, dynamite, to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him, capital H, God, who had promised to be faithful. Sarah was barren. Sarah could not have kids. Sarah received a healing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
By faith.
Yes.
So she exercised her faith But she had to put herself in a position to receive. She received strength. Lambano, to take, to catch, to hold, to attain, to apprehend. I mean, she reached out for it and said, I want that.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, she already did the stupid thing with Ishmael and got all involved with that. And after she exhausted her worldly efforts to try to help God out, then she did it the right way by faith. And she received dunamis power.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And see, the lame man at the temple, let her be there, he was expecting to receive money. You know, he saw Peter and John coming in verse 3, and he, asked to receive alms. Money, money, give me money. So he was looking for Lambano alms. Man, I'll take your money. Get over here. Oh, come here, I'll take it. I can activate my faith for money. But can I activate my faith to receive a touch from God? That's the question you got to ask yourself tonight. So he expected to receive Lambano, something from them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now you got the word of the Lord there. Get up and walk. So now here we are at a critical point in this man's life. He has received, or heard, excuse me, the word of the Lord. Now what's he going to do with it? Well, I can't walk. That's dumb. I wanted money.
Yeah.
You know? You want to know what kind of things happen sometimes in ministry? Somebody will come up and say, Pastor, I really need prayer tonight because, you know, I've just been really suffering with, you know, a lot of headaches, and I just, you know, a lot of oppression and depression and darkness, and I really, you know, want you to pray for me tonight that God will touch me and heal my mind and make all that go away. And then God will quicken the word of the Lord to him. He'll say, Lord's telling me right now that there's somebody you need to forgive, and that's what's brought this thing on you. I don't need to forgive anybody. What are you talking about? There's nothing. No, God just told him that. And then you get all huffy. Well, that's not what I wanted. Then turn around and walk out. And go home sick. Why is that? Because you got to that critical point where the word of God was spoken and you didn't do nothing with it. Yeah. Folks, I had this happen to me in my very first church in Amsterdam in like 1980. You know, I mean, people were coming, you know, and all that stuff. And this one lady came up and asked for prayer, and she says, I want you to pray that my husband will get saved. And God said for me to tell her that she really needed to change her behavior and start acting like she was saved. I don't need this! Boom, 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 stomp it down. They're slamming the doors. And out she goes. Right there in the middle of the whole thing. Then we continued with our service, but she was waiting for me after it was done downstairs. Outside. In the parking lot. You ever been mugged? Have you ever been spiritually mugged by an angry woman? You know? Says, all I wanted was prayer. Well, that may be what you wanted, honey, but that may not be what you needed. I mean, God quickened me. I mean, what are you coming to my church for if you don't believe what I'm saying? You know? So, she was recognized by all the people in the housing project over there in Amsterdam. Not the big high-rise, but the lower-income apartments that are right next to the high-rise. And she was like their spiritual mother. And these people were all coming to my church. So, I mean, we had a multicultural church right off the bat. Had black people there and single mothers and divorced and widows and all kinds of things, charismaniacs. We had everything coming out of the walls. Well, by the time she got done with all them, they all left. So they're gone because that's not what I needed. Yeah, don't be that way with God. You're going to miss your healing.
Amen.
to what this lame man did. He wanted money. They gave him a word. I got something better. Get up and walk. And he reached down and he took him by the right hand. And what did the guy do? Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. His ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood, and immediately he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, that word expecting there in the Greek is a cool little word. It just means anticipate in thought, in hope, or fear, to be in expectation, to tarry for, to wait for. You need to come into God's house with an expectancy that something's going to happen and a fear that you're not going to get it if you don't connect.
That's right. Thank you.
Because it's talking about some fear there too. Man, I want to be afraid of missing God. I want to have the right kind of expectation so that I can believe that the Lord's going to do something.
Yeah.
Anticipate in hope. Anticipate in your thought. I believe, Lord, you're going to do something tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
And expectation, and we'll stop with this one. Expectation connects believing with receiving. Expectation connects believing with receiving. Because see, he was believing for money. He received healing instead. And all the while, he was expectant that something was going to happen to him. And he even got better than what he asked for. I mean, isn't that awesome about God that you could come tomorrow or you could come August the 1st and you could think, you know, this is what I really need, and then you walk out of here with something 10 times better than what you came to ask for. Man, our God's like that. Our God is like that, and he wants to touch you and bless you and do that for you. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that would like to be a better receiver tonight? You know, anybody. Let's just stand. I just want to pray for you for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to seal this in prayer. You know, now it's up to you to do something with it, but we just want to acknowledge before God that we need him. You know? Lord Jesus, I just pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts tonight. That, Lord, you would make your word come alive within us. That, Lord, you would stir truth and power and anointing. That you'd birth expectancy. That you would make us aggressive about receiving. Lord, that we'd stop being passive. That you'd help us get turned on, plugged in, tuned up. Lord, get our antennas up. And, Lord, reposition our heart. Do whatever we need to do, Lord, to be able to connect with you on a regular daily basis. Not just when we need something. But Lord, as we're understanding that we need revival in this house, as we're understanding that we need healing and deliverance, God, Lord, we're taking the first step, Lord, this week by reaching out to you and acknowledging that we need you to touch us. And Lord, we trust that you're going to do that.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, tomorrow, August 1st, and every other service, Lord, when there's an opportunity, that God, you are going to touch us as we receive from you. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing you put in this house. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's on our ministers, Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. But God, in the midst of all that, make us receivers of what you're doing. Hallelujah. Aggressive receivers, Jesus. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word, God, and we just look forward to cool stuff because you are awesome. You're awesome, God, and you're awesome in this place, and you're going to be more awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you and thank you so much. Okay.